Page 238. Vichikicca, doubt about right Dhamma. Vichikicca is skepticism about the Buddha, his teaching, the Sangha, and the practice of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. All these four kinds of skepticism are implicit in the skepticism about the true Dhamma. For one who has doubt about the true Dhamma will have doubt too about the Buddha who preached it, about the members of the Sangha who practice it, and about the way of life that conforms to it. Hence our translation of vichikicca as doubt about the right Dhamma. Also implicit in the doubt about the right Dhamma are doubt about the past of life cycle, samsara, doubt about its future, doubt about the present in relation to the combination of past and future, and doubt about the relation between cause and effect, the dependent origination. For the past of samsara, etc., are bound up with the right Dhamma. Thus, doubt about the right Dhamma means all the eight kinds of doubts that we have mentioned. It does not include doubts that have nothing to do with the right Dhamma. Doubts as whether this road will lead to the pagoda, whether this business is likely to be lucrative, and so forth. Such kind of doubt in worldly affairs is not a nivarana or hindrance. Only the eightfold doubt about the Dhamma is to be termed a nivarana, vichikicca. Doubt about the practice for tranquility. The yogi who devotes himself to samatha bhavana may have doubts about the practice. Would the meditation by breathing in itself lead to attainment of jhana? Would it be possible to attain the four jhanas merely by practicing the earth kasina? Would such jhanas lead to the attainment of psychic powers? Is it a fact that such powers enable a man to create things, to go underground, to fly in the air, to see or hear everything? Would watching and reflection on the 32 parts of the body ensure the attainment of jhanas? These are doubts that pose a hindrance to the development of tranquility. Doubt about insight meditation. Would mindfulness of one's bodily behavior, standing, sitting, walking, etc., by itself develop the insight into the distinction between consciousness and corporeality? Is it possible for the yogi to gain insight knowledge simply by watching every phenomenon that arises from the six senses, such as the arising and falling of the belly? These are instances of vichikicca that form a hindrance to the progress in the practice of vipassana. The yogi who harbors such doubts is like a traveler at a crossroads. If he is traveling in a new territory, he should inquire those who have traveled there before. He must travel fast if he is being followed by enemies. Suppose he stops at a crossroads and wavers without following one way or the other. He will then be overtaken, looted, and killed by the pursuing enemies. His suffering is due to his hesitation at the crossroads. Likewise, the yogi who has doubts is hampered in his effort to practice mindfulness. He is at the crossroads because he hesitates inattentively. He does not know the sense objects as they really are. Because of his ignorance, he clings to them as if they were permanent, pleasant, and substantial. Clinging causes greed, hatred, and other defilements, as well as wholesome and unwholesome karmas that lead to the lower worlds and other samsaric sufferings, such as birth, etc. Thus, the doubting yogi suffers just as the hesitating traveller at the crossroads suffers at the hand of his enemy. So it is imperative to dispel doubts about the right Dhamma. Because of skepticism, some cannot practice meditation. Some do not hear the sermons, and some do not care to read books on meditation. They miss opportunities because they confuse vichikicca with an inquiring mind. Cause of confusion. In fact, some people do not grasp the secret of meditation since they do not consider Satipatthana Sutta seriously. The Buddha's teaching is simple and straightforward, but they mix it with the teaching of Abhidhamma and commentaries, and hence their confusion. The Buddha said, "Kaye kayanupasi viharati," be mindful of your physical body, which means that the yogi should focus his mind on the parts of the body and its behavior. Meditation on the parts of the body is described fully in the method of meditating on 32 parts, such as hair, etc. watching hair, etc., as loathsome objects in undoubtedly the practice of attentiveness to the body. Again, meditation on the behavior of the body is described in Gacchanto wa Gacchamiti Pajanati. The yogi knows that he walks, when he walks, etc. The text tells us plainly to be mindful of walking when we walk, of standing when we stand, of sitting when we sit, and so on. If we do not watch the behavior of the body at the moment of its arising, we tend to consider it permanent, pleasant, and substantial. But watching all forms of behavior makes us aware of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And this awareness in turn makes one free from attachment. Hence the Buddha's insistence on the need for mindfulness at every moment. Here the bodily behavior, which is the object of attention, includes the abdominal rising and falling, tenseness and motion at the moment of rising and falling, form the air body, vayokaya. Watching and knowing mean anupassana. And so to watch and know the rising and falling is kaya anupassana. All forms of corporeality, the subject for contemplation. But the yogi should see to it that his method of contemplation is correct. The physical body is impermanent, painful, and lacking in an ego entity, and repulsive. He should contemplate so as to realize these marks of life, namely, anicca, dukkha, anatta, and asupa. To this end, he must first know the nature of the physical body. This calls for watching all forms of the behavior of the body at the moment of their arising. In other words, the yogi contemplates all forms of corporeality that are manifest in the whole body. These include solid and gross corporeality, that is, earth element, patavidhatu, represented by hair, etc. The yogi is mindful when he is in contact with the hair or fingernails or toenails or the skin, etc. The earth element is also to be watched and noted when there is contact between the teeth and the tongue or between the flesh and the bones. All solid, gross or soft earth element that is manifest is the subject for contemplation. There is no earth element that is not worthy of contemplation. The flowing and compounded water body, apo kayo kaya, is also to be contemplated. Apo kaya means the water element that is to be found in bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, etc. According to Pali commentaries, this element is intangible, not an object of body contact, but there is flowing and wetness only after the contact between the apo element and other elements that are bound up with it. So the flowing, cohesive apo element is apparent when one contacts and watches tears, water from the nose, saliva, sweat, etc. The yogi can watch any manifestation of vayo element. The hot, warm, or cold tejo kaya, or heat element, is also to be watched. Tejo kaya comprises 1. The normal heat of the body that causes a man to grow old. 2. The feverish heat that exceeds the normal heat of the body. 3. The burning excessive heat, and 4. The internal heat of the digestive system that digests and burns up all the food that is eaten. This heat element should also be watched wherever it is apparent. Vayo, or wind element. The vayo kaya, or the element of stiffness and motion, is also the subject for contemplation. The element of motion is sixfold, namely 1. Motion upwards, 2. Motion downwards, 3. Motion in the intestines, 4. Motion in the abdomen, 5. Motion which causes walking, standing, sitting, lying, bending, stretching, handling, etc. 6. Motion produced by in and out breathing. The yogi can contemplate any kind of this vayo element. To watch the behavior of one's body, walking, sitting, lying, etc., in accordance with the teaching of Satipatthana Sutta, is to watch the fifth kind of element of motion called anga manga nusari in Pali. The practice of in and out breathing means contemplation of the vayo element of the sixth kind called asasa Upasasa, to watch the rising and falling of the abdomen, is to watch the vayo element that is in motion because of the pressure of the inhaled air. By watching thus, the yogi knows the pressure of the inhaled air. So it can be said that he watches breathing in and out air. Some yogis may think that they should focus only on their nostril. This is true if the object is the attainment of jhana and samadhi, concentration. Jhana and samadhi develop only if the mind is focused on a single object in one place. To attend to several objects in several places is bound to impede their development. But this does not apply to insight meditation, vipassana, which does not require the yogi to restrict his attention to a single place or a single object. Every phenomena that arises from the six senses is to be the object of mindfulness. The Buddha says, sabbang abhinyayang, sabbang dhammang abhijanati, which means that the yogi should be mindful of everything. So in the practice of vipassana, there is not any restriction as to the part of the physical body that is or not to be watched. Just as upward motion, downward motion, abdominal motion, intestinal motion, or other motions in any place are worthy objects of contemplation, so is the motion of air breathed irrespective of any part of the body. In other words, the arising and falling indicate tautness and motion in the abdomen, and so to watch them is to watch the abdominal motion. No doubt about the cultivation of the four satipatthanas. So to watching the rising and falling is to watch the wind element, vayo dhatu, in accordance with Satipatthana Sutta. It means watching the asasa pasasa, in and out breathing, wind element, one of the six vayo dhatu that is apparent in the abdomen. This is also contemplation through bodily postures and clarity of sense door consciousness. Hence, to watching the rising or falling while sitting, or to watch sitting, is to watch the vayo element and its behavior. This is the practice of kaya nupassana satipatthana, so is watching other forms of behavior, such as bending, moving, walking, and so forth. Again, to watch one's feelings, such as it is cramping, it is hot, it is painful, is vedana nupassana. To watch every mental event whenever it occurs, imagining, thinking, intending, etc., is citta nupassana. To watch seeing, hearing, etc., when these become especially manifest, is dhamma nupassana. Hence, mindfulness of rising and falling and all other psychophysical phenomena at the moment of their occurrence is the right dhamma that accords with the teaching of Satipatthana Sutta. There is no doubt about it. Yet those who do not fully understand the nature of vipassana tend to be skeptical. Most of these skeptics are well-read and critical. Women have implicit faith in the meditation teachers, and by and large they devote themselves to the vipassana practice wholeheartedly. They easily attain tranquility, samadhi, by virtue of their uncritical approach and unwavering faith. Tranquility is of course followed by insight, and so it is not difficult for them to pass through successive stages of insight knowledge. But this is not true of every female yogi. There are those who do not make any progress because of their critical minds. Some fail to attain any insight because of their laxity, age, poor health, and lack of all-out effort. There are also yogis among laymen and bhikkhus who attain samadhi and insight quickly by dint of systematic effort in accordance with instructions. In short, it is easy to attain samadhi if the yogi is convinced of the worthwhileness of the vipassana method that we have mentioned above and practices steadily and zealously. Purity of mind through temporary tranquility. So the yogi should not harbor doubt and critical thinking, but watch and reject them. Equally, to be watched and rejected are sensuous desire, ill will, torpor, and restlessness. In this way, he will be free from doubt and other hindrances, and being always mindful, his mind will be pure. This is insight-oriented temporary tranquility, vipassana, kanika samadhi, that is on a par with neighborhood tranquility, Upachara Samadhi. It may also be called Upachara Samadhi because of its resemblance in respect of its freedom from hindrances. Hence, in the commentary on Satipatthana Sutta, contemplation on bodily postures, clarity of consciousness, reflections on elements, and other insight meditations are described as Upachara Kamatana, neighborhood contemplation. These Kanika Samadhi and Upachara Samadhi ensure mental purity. Hence the Buddha's teaching, other people may have doubt about the true Buddha, the true Dhamma and the true Sangha, but we will overcome such doubts. Thus you should practice the Salaika Dhamma that lessens your defilements. You should affirm your will to overcome doubt by following the path of right belief and right resolution. You should do for your spiritual uplift and put an end to the defilement of doubt by determination.